Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Ready? See if you can identify these 5 clips in the order that they are played. It could be from a song, a movie, a TV show, or something else. But if it's coming from this podcast, then you know that it's from Generation X. Listen closely. Good luck.
Well, isn't that special?
She came with me. She's with me.
I carried a watermelon.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me, I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Fighting the system like a true modern day Robin Hood.
Hello, and welcome to Who'll Say Generation X, the trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Xavier, host, and today we have 2 great contestants ready to compete for ultimate slacker prizes, and in the process do their part to save Generation X from being forgotten. Are you ready to do your part? Please play along with the contestants while you listen and see what rad prize you would have wanted if you're here with us saving Generation X from fading into oblivion. We're so happy they've chosen to join us, and I'm sure you're going to get a nice dose of nostalgia and maybe a few laughs along the way. So if everyone's ready, let's start the show. Right off the bat, please forgive my voice this episode. I've got the bronchitis right now, and it's making it very difficult for me to breathe without coffee. I'm playing hurt so we can bring you some new episodes, but if my voice sounds really off this time around, well, now you know why.
That noise? Was that the noise that you're talking about?
Okay, enough of that. Let's get that out of the way. I am very excited to welcome 2 first-time guests to the show as we share our memories of life growing up during Generation X. There's something here for everyone, I hope. But if you like reminiscing about the movies Better Off Dead, The Karate Kid, or TV shows like The Facts of Life, then this episode is one you might especially like. We're going to save the pop culture nostalgia of Generation X from being forgotten today with this Gen X married couple. Let's give a very quick hello to each of them now. Let's first welcome to the show, first time guest, but longtime supporter of the show, who was a bat boy for the 80s AA California Angels affiliate, the Midland Angels, and says pretty much everything in Bull Durham was exactly as it really is in the minors. Please welcome to the show, Mike. Hi, Mike.
Drink some of this, Michael. Be one of us.
Hey, Zabe, how's it going?
Fantastic. Besides this bronchitis.
Yeah. Boy, we're pumped to be here. This is cool.
We're happy to have you. Let's also welcome to the show Mike's wife, a Gen Xer who once had a brush with Gen X fame when she met the late, great Jim Varney while working at a pizza parlor. Please welcome Ella to the podcast. Thanks for being on the show, Ella.
Howdy.
We're all waving to each other like as if people can see us wave to one another on an audio format, but that's cool. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Before we start the show, let's give a quick overview of how we play the game. The show is broken up into 3 rounds of trivia and games. Whoever has the most points at the end of round 3 will win a chance at today's rad slacker prize.
The power.
Struggle.
The power.
In the opening of this episode, you heard 5 quick clips from Generation X. The game is called The Power Struggle, and in this game, you will need to name those 5 clips in the order that they were played. At any time during the episode, contestants can interrupt the game and declare that they want to solve the Power Struggle question. They only get 1 chance to answer it correctly, and if they are correct, then they instantly steal the power away from their opponent. And as an added wrinkle to the game, if you solve the Power Struggle, you'll be awarded a whopping 20 bonus points to your score, We'll play the clip a couple of times during the episode, so listen closely and see if you can solve the power struggle.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Has anyone ever solved it at this point?
Nobody has ever solved the power struggle this early in the game.
I could solve it right now, and would that ruin the game if we did?
Well, you know, there's a little bit of strategy to it. If Ella has the power, you're going to want to solve the power struggle and steal the power back, right?
That's true.
That's my strategy, at least. But, you know.
I'll sit on it to make sure. Yeah. But Ella, I got them all. Usually it takes.
I do, too.
Oh, crud!
So we got a little standoff going on with the power struggle. This could be fun.
I'm going to hold off on it then. I'm going to wait. So
let's see how this rolls out. Let's play round one.
Round one.
Most game shows wait for their final round to bust out a lightning round. But since we're Gen Xers, we kind of do whatever the heck we want. So we're going to start this episode with the lightning round. We call this game, What the Blank?
What the fuck?
Blank.
The game is that I have a list of fill-in-the-blank statements that I will read off to you, and you'll have 1 minute to give as many correct answers as possible within that time limit. You'll score 1 point for each correct answer. If you get stuck, say pass, and we'll come back to it if there's enough time. Each list has a theme and a total of 10 fill-in-the-blank statements. At the end, for each unanswered fill-in-the-blank, your opponent will get a chance to answer them and steal whatever points are remaining. The winner of round one will be awarded the power.
The power.
Power.
Which allows the player who has it to make all the choices in the game first and wins all ties for as long as they control the power. We played an intense game of Simon backstage to see who goes first. And Mike was able to remember the sequence slightly better than Ella.
Simon sets the pace. You follow right along. Light the lights that Simon lights or he'll tell you that you're wrong.
Mike, you get to start us off with What the Blank by picking one of these two themes available to you. Whichever one you don't pick will go to Ella. Will you choose option one? It's called Me Three. Or will you choose Look What the Cat Dragged In?
Wow. Look What the Cat Dragged In.
Okay. Look What the Cat Dragged In. All of the following 10 fill in the blanks will all be song titles from the band Poison.
Oh. It's more fun if you fill in the blank with a dirty
word. What the blank? All right. Here we go. Unskinny blank.
Bop.
Talk blanky to me.
Dirty.
Fallen blank.
Angels.
Something to blank in.
Believe in.
Your mama don't blank.
Dance.
Every rose has blank thorn.
It's thorn. It's.
I want blank.
Pass.
Nothing but a blank time.
Good.
I won't blank you.
Stab.
Look, but you can't blank.
Touch.
I won't blank you.
Touch you.
I won't blank you, Mike.
Sleep. Yeah.
You're slamming on all of these.
I'm very surprised because I like Poison, but I don't love Poison.
Yeah.
You did great. Ella's a huge Poison fan. I guess maybe it's rubbed off in the car, you know, when we drive and she's playing Poison or something.
Okay, Ella, here's your chance to pick up 2 points. Number seven was I want blank.
Candy? I don't know.
I'm sorry. That's not bow, wow, wow. This is I Want Action was the name of that song.
I don't know that one.
Obviously.
I
don't remember that one.
Action.
Tonight. Oh, yeah. Tonight. Yeah.
It's action. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And number nine was I Won't Blank You.
I Won't Forget You.
Well done, Ella. You scored an extra point on that one.
And I saw them in concert. In 1988.
Nice. I saw them in concert as well, but it was in like 2002 or something, like way past their heyday.
Tesla opened for them.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
When they only had one song.
One hit. Yeah. Signs. And it wasn't even a song that they wrote. That was a cover.
Right, that's a cover.
Wow.
I remember watching some sort of Time Life compilation album kind of thing or whatever. And it's from songs of the 60s or whenever it was. And they were playing that song, Signs.
Yeah.
Like, wait a second. That's not their song. They like blew my mind. Like, wait, that was a cover this whole time. It's weird how we find out that songs are covers way after the fact, songs that weren't from our generation or made for us.
And I want to say, when we were growing up, bands doing covers of other songs was looked down on. I don't remember there being a lot of covers on albums as much as there is now, you know?
Some bands made a whole career out of it. They were like one-hit wonders because they covered a song that was very popular like in the 60s or something. And yeah. The new generation didn't know that it was a cover. So they thought it was an original song.
Well, Tiffany did it a lot.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh, Tiffany. Yeah.
She hung
there you go.
That.
All right. That's a great example. As soon as I say that, we're going to. Nice. Well, this is name them all.
Judge Ella, Tiffany, one-hit wonder? Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to Ella. Let's see if you can clean up on this one. The title is Me Three. All of the following 10 fill-in-the-blanks will all be song titles from the band U2.
Oh, yeah. So you switched our group.
A chance for revenge for Mike if you can't get all of these. Let's see. We're going to put 1 minute on the board. Are you ready, Ella?
Sure.
Here we go. Where the streets have no blank.
Name.
Two blanks beat as one.
Hearts.
I still haven't found what I'm blanking for.
Looking.
Blank the blue sky.
Pass.
Blank bloody blank.
Sunday.
All I want is blank.
Pass.
Who's gonna blank your wild horses?
Ride.
Even better than the blank thing.
Pass.
New blank day.
Years.
Blank me, blank me, blank me, blank me.
Pass.
Blank the blue sky.
Oh, it's the devil in the blue sky?
No, it's not. You don't want to give answers afterwards anyways. That's just going to help Mike. Okay, Mike, you get a chance to steal.
I'm on it.
We get one answer, one reply. Number four was blank the blue sky.
Bullet.
Correct. All I want is blank.
You.
Correct. Number eight was even better than the blank thing.
Real.
That is correct. And can you get number 10? Blank me, blank me, blank me, blank me.
Shoot me, thrill me, kiss me, kill me.
Judges?
Oh.
Very close.
Oh, which one was it?
Hold me, thrill Hold me, kiss yes. me, kill me.
Oh,
I've I been saw on them such... in concert in 88 too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. She saw everybody in concert there. In I 88. Saw nobody. Yeah.
Robin, can you please tell us the score after round one?
All right. After round one, Ella has 7 points. Mike has 11.
Mike, that means you have most points after round one, and that means you have the power.
The power is yours.
Before we start round two, let's take a moment to better meet our contestants. The judges are the gatekeepers of all things Gen X here on the show, and to that end, they are requesting to know from our contestants about their Gen X credentials. That is, apart from being born between 1965 and 1980, what qualifies you to claim yourself as part of Generation X, and what might potentially disqualify you from being Gen X? Please welcome to the show, Ella. Please tell us a little bit about yourself. Please include your Gen X qualifiers and potential disqualifiers.
Hi, I'm Ella, and I'm coming from Texas. And my qualifiers would be my sophomore year of high school, I convinced my mother that I should have a rat's tail.
Oh,
thanks
wow.
to Till Tuesday and Voices Carry video. That's my qualifier. And I guess my disqualifier would be that I never learned to skate backwards, so I never got to participate in a couple skate.
Oh, I'm sad. I mean, I didn't get to participate in couple skate either, but for a totally different reason.
You're that nerd.
I mean, we have a lot of listeners in Texas, and I don't know, something tells me that the rat tail is still a thing in Texas. Am I wrong?
The mullet
is very
definitely.
Yes.
The mullet is definitely a thing. That. Oh,
yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time,
very yeah. big time.
Yeah. I'm glad they're representing some yeah. Gen X culture there.
Yeah. yeah.
Sweet.
It's also cowboy culture. So, you know, it's a little bit of both. So, yeah.
So, Ella, what was it like to meet Jim Varney when you were younger?
It was funny, really fun. He was very nice guy. He was a friend of the boss at the pizza place I worked at in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. And he just come up and hang out every once in a while.
Oh, he was a regular.
Yeah.
I mean, so you had interaction with him and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Did he ever say, hey, Vern, when he would like order a pizza?
No.
Oh.
Did he have any shtick with him, or did he? Was he just playing it straight?
He just played it straight. He's from Lexington or that area, so he was just being himself.
You always hear good things about Jim Varney, that he was a good dude in real life.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Ella. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Also, welcome to the show, Mike. Please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and please give us your Gen X qualifiers and potential disqualifiers.
All right. Thanks, Zabe. Let's see. Also coming from Texas, I'm from Texas. So we met in grad school in Mississippi. So that's why you get a Kentucky and a Texas together on the same show. We love driving cross country, and so we listen to this all the time. Collectively, we score a lot of points. So when we're against each other, I don't know how we're going to do, but collectively, we do really, really well. Well, I've used every form of recorded media, from reel to reel to records to 8-tracks to cassettes to CD to MP3 to streaming. And when in the 80s, I installed a new stereo in my pickup, complete with 14-inch kicker boxes behind the seats.
Wow.
Yeah. How's that? And I don't know if this really counts as a qualifier, but when I used to be a college professor, and one of the classes I taught had a video production component. And so I made my students break into groups and remake shot by shot videos of 80s videos, costumes,
awesome.
Everything, trying to get that younger generation into the 80s, you know, Gen X stuff. And so that was always a lot of fun. So I enjoyed that. My disqualifier, I have three. Not really a fan of Prince. Yeah, I know. Not a fan of 80s slasher films. And I didn't watch John Hughes movies until they were on VCR.
Well, depending on how old you were, maybe they weren't quite appropriate for you back then.
No.
But... Oh, no.
They were. They okay. were. Yeah. So you can buzz that one too.
Well done.
Yeah.
Real quick side note, if there are any younger college age people listening to this episode, I would say that a lot of your professors are probably of Gen X age right now, mm-hmm. and your school teachers. And pro tip, if you can find some way to weave into your projects some Gen X pop culture, Mike, can you agree with me that that's probably going to get you some extra credit points or
most definitely
bump your grade up?
They'd be class favorites. They would be, you know, they would do really well in my classes if they came in with some kind of content from Gen X, Star Wars, any of that stuff. We would have a lot to talk about, and they would do better in the class for sure.
Right. So that's a free tip to all you youngins listening on this episode. Judges, do these contestants have the proper credentials to complete this episode? Congratulations, guys. You can stay.
I was worried with the Prince, you know.
You should be, my friend.
Still to this day, if it comes on the radio, I'll change it. I can't.
Mike,
I can't
quit while you're ahead, buddy. You're letting me stay. All right. Before we start round two, let's take another listen to the power struggle.
That special.
She came with me. She's with me.
I carried a watermelon.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Fighting the system like a two modern day Robin Hood. Round two.
Round two is a game called Eight is Enough. In this game, I'll ask a total of 8 questions, 4 to each of our contestants. Points are awarded for each correct answer, 2 points for a complete correct answer, and 1 pity point for a partial correct answer if they can convince the judges for it. Players take turns answering the questions with a chance to steal if their opponent answers incorrectly. A steal is worth 1 point, but more importantly, a steal also takes the power away from their opponent. The judges require that all questions must be given an answer, no matter how incorrect they might be. So if you say some form of I don't know here in the show, you will lose a point and get slimed. Whoever has the most points at the end of round two will take a secret trip to the prize vault and choose the prize that you'll be both playing for in this episode. Let's play round two. Who has the power, Robin?
Mike has the power.
Mike, you do indeed have the power, and you get to pick between these two questions. Will it be automatic, systematic, hydromatic, which is a movie question, or will it be now a study in mopishness, which is also a movie question?
I will do the first one there, Zabe. Hydromatic, automatic, systematic.
I was hoping you'd say it more dramatic.
All right, that's fine. Hydromatic.
Okay, thank you. If I have to do it, then so do you, Mike. Okay, here's a question. The 1978 movie Grease is one of the most popular movie musical adaptations of all time. Beloved by movie nerds and theater snobs alike, this musical is known for its excellent cast, hit songs, and campy portrayal of 1950s Americana. One of the most iconic songs on the soundtrack, Grease Lightning, is known for its over-the-top lyrics, which is probably inappropriate for many of us at that age in the 1970s. Here's your question. Which of these is not a line from the song Grease Lightning? Was it A, "You are supreme, the chicks will scream for Grease Lightning"? Is it B, "We'll get some purple fringe taillights and 30-inch fins, oh yeah"? Is it C, "Go Grease Lightning, you're coasting through the heat lap trials"? Is it D, "When do pistons, plugs, and shocks, I can get off my rocks"? Which is it, Mike?
I'm going to go with A, "The chicks will scream".
That is correct answer. That's 2 points for you.
Yeah. Ella and I have a background in theater. We were both theater professors, and we've actually never done the full production of Grease on stage, but a lot of the schools around us do it. And it blows our mind because the actual lyrics in the unedited version of Grease, especially this song,
yeah,
they're very dirty. So yeah.
Super dirty. Small fire if you fill in the blank with a
dirty word. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't until I watched Grease with closed captions on that I realized what the lyrics were.
When he's dancing with the saran wrap, that's also a reference to intercourse. So yeah.
Nobody has sex with saran wrap, Mike. I don't know what you're talking about.
Not anymore.
Okay. This question was a little tricky and a little bit nuanced because we only changed one word. The actual lyrics are, "You are supreme, the chicks will cream for Grease Lightning". These lyrics, of course, are referring to the thought that once they get the car up and running, they will take Sandy and Rizzo to Taco Bell and get a burrito supreme, which, of course, as everyone knows, comes with sour cream. I mean, what else could it mean, right? Now I want some Taco Bell.
Oh,
sounds good right now.
Yo quiero.
Ella, this one's for you. It's called "Now a Study in Mopishness". Teenage angst and offbeat humor are two things that Gen X pioneered, and few movies capture these two things quite like the movie Better Off Dead. The movie is crammed full of eccentric characters like delusional next-door neighbor Mrs. Smith and the militant paperboy named Johnny, obsessed with getting his $2. John Cusack's character, Lane Meyer, makes excuses to Johnny, the paperboy, as why he can't pay the subscription fee of $2. Which of the following are not one of the excuses Lane gives Johnny? Is it A, "My mom had to leave work early to take my brother to school and my dad to work"? B, "My little brother this morning got his arm caught in the microwave"? C, "My dad has a secret family in Canada, it turns out, and my mom just learned about it"? Or is it D, "My grandmother dropped acid and she freaked out and hijacked a school bus full of penguins"?
I'm going to go with, what was the last one? D?
D is the last one. "My grandmother dropped acid and freaked out and hijacked a school bus full of penguins"?
Yeah, that one.
I'm sorry, Ella, that's incorrect. They actually used that line in the movie. Which one did they not use in the movie, Mike? Do you know it?
I think it's C.
"My dad has a secret family in Canada"?
Yeah.
That is correct. That's 1 point for a steal for you, Mike. Well done. Here's your fun fact. Actor Demian Slade was only 12 years old when he won the role of real-life paperboy Johnny Gasparini, who demanded his $2 from Lane Meyer. When Slade auditioned, he said he wore a leather jacket and looked serious. He approached it as if he was a serial killer with no intentions of making it funny. Although it was funny, the serial killer part certainly came through.
$2. Cash.
It's small influences like this into our collective Gen X experiences that one could point to for developing our love of dark humor. Most Gen Xers love this movie, and it's with good reason. Robin, after one set of questions, what's the score?
Ella has 7 and Mike has 14.
So Mike, you've doubled up on Ella. Mike, you continue to have the power. You get to pick between these two questions. Will it be Banzai Danielson, which is a movie question? Ooh, the bronchitis kind of adds to that gravelly Mr. Miyagi voice a little bit. Maybe I should have bronchitis a little more often. Or will you pick Dines for Fools, which is also a movie question? Kind of.
Banzai Danielson.
There it is. In the iconic coming-of-age film, The Karate Kid, Daniel LaRusso learns the true meaning of discipline and resilience under the guidance of his wise mentor, Mr. Miyagi. The two forge a deep friendship, and Daniel learns more from Mr. Miyagi than just martial arts.
Know what I mean? Know what I mean? Nuts, nuts, know what I mean? Say no more.
Judges, no. Just no. In a memorable scene, Daniel celebrates a birthday and is given the very generous gift of a yellow classic car from Mr. Miyagi. Your question is this: which birthday was Daniel celebrating in this scene? Was it A, his 16th birthday? B, 18th birthday? C, birthday number 21? Or was it D, birthday number 69?
69, dudes!
If you play out the whole next movie and the timeline of that, it makes me want to say that it's 18, but I want to feel like it was 16, but I'm going to go with 18.
So you think he's going to get his driver's license and get a car at 18? Is that what you're talking about, Mike?
Hey, our daughter is about to be 19 and doesn't have a driver's license yet. So, you know, it's a real thing.
But these are like the carefree days of Gen X.
I know. The reason why I say that is because Karate Kid 2 picks up right where Karate Kid 1 ends, and they're flying over to Okinawa, and he spends the money that he has saved to go to college the next year. And then when Karate Kid 3 comes, he can't go to college because he spent all that money. So he's got to open up the bonsai tree store with Mr. Miyagi. And he wouldn't do that if he was 16. So I'm going with 18. That's the logic, at least, that I'm playing here.
Right, but I'm trying to say things that are going to make you change your answer and get it wrong. You're not playing along.
No, so well I also done, know Mike, you do that's that. Correct. I also know you do that. So, all right. Well done. Oh, I was sorry. Right.
You're correct. Of course you're correct. That's all sound logic. Ella, wow. I'm going to continue to try and sabotage your husband in order to help you out here and make you
thank
make
you.
Up the, help you make up the ground. But yes, Daniel turns 18 in this movie. And the All Valley Under 18 Karate Tournament takes place shortly after his birthday, which means not only did Daniel use an illegal kick to the face to win the tournament, not only is he not a black belt, as the rules require a brown belt or above, but he also cheated by being too old to compete in the first place. Furthermore, a year after, in Karate Kid 3, he went back to the tournament at nearly 19-year-old to fight again and was still not even a brown belt. Who said cheaters never prosper?
What belt are you?
Belt?
Why am I done?
Open division is only for brown belt or above.
Oh, yeah. Black belt.
Okay.
Way to, like, bend the rules to satisfy your own needs, Mr. Miyagi.
Hey.
Ella, this question's for you. It's called Dines for Fools. Following the fictionalized misfit players of the Cleveland Indians, the classic baseball comedy Major League portrays their triumph as they turn their team from underdogs into champions. The all-star cast includes Charlie Sheen as ex-con pitcher Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn. Here's your question. What was Ricky Vaughn in jail for? Was it A, attempted murder? B, arson? C, drug dealing? D, stealing a car? Or was it E, shipping vials of tiger blood into the United States, hidden in Japanese copies of the movie Major League?
I'm going to say C.
C, drug dealing is incorrect. I'm sorry, Ella. Mike, you going to run up the score on your wife?
Stole a car. He stole a car.
But you got it right, Mike.
Yeah,
he will.
So yeah, my family are huge Cleveland Indian / Guardians fans, and that movie was on repeat when it came out on video because I love that movie.
Well, I think anybody who had Showtime growing up was also on their TV.
Yeah, me and my friends could quote that movie verbatim. We watched it so many times. That's so good.
It's a classic. Super quotable too. Yes, it is very bad to steal Jobu's rum, but it is also very bad to steal the correct answer of D, stealing a car. Sheen and Vaughn share some similarities. Both are talented pitchers who had, shall we say, run-ins with the law. But unlike Ricky Vaughn, Charlie Sheen has tiger blood running through his veins. So who's the real winner here? As a wise man once said, dines for fools.
You don't worry that you're going to die when you take that many drugs.
Dines for fools.
Clearly. Robin, what's the score?
All right, Ella's still at 7. Mike has 17 points now.
Okay, Ella. We got to pull together. It's you and me. Yes. We're gonna team up here.
You can also do the power struggle thing and get an automatic 20 points, you know,
That's a good point. It's up to you. But that's your strategy, whatever you want to do. Mike, you get to pick between these two questions. Right. Will it be, are those what I think they are? which is a movie question, or will it be Cinema Soundcheck, which is a head-to-head challenge?
Oh, let's do Cinema Soundcheck.
Okie doke. For this question, I will give you the titles of tracks from a musical score of a popular movie from Gen X, and you'll need to tell me the title of the movie that it's from. Movie scores are usually instrumentals with obscure titles, and that should give you the hints that you need to come up with the movie. We will go back and forth between each player, who will give a new movie title with each turn. Points will be awarded to the player that gets it correct on their turn. There are 8 track titles on the list, and the number of points you will receive with the correct answer will match the number of songs revealed. So, for example, if you get the movie title correct on song 3, you get 3 points, song 4, 4 points, and so forth, all the way up to as many as 8 points on the final track. Ella, I'm looking at you. You'll need to think on your strategy of when you want to get it correct and score as many points as possible, but not allow your opponent to get it before you do. Okay, Mike, this was your question, so you get song 1. Can you get this one? The song title is called Main Title.
Do we get a year and a category of the film? No? Oh, nope. Well, main title, I think it is.
If it was Ella's turn, then yes, I would have given it to you. But
that's
because
fair.
It's yours, I'm going to say.
That's fair.
No.
I'm going to say Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
What? No, that's incorrect. That would have been amazing, though.
Would have been.
That would have been really impressive.
Most impressive.
Ella, you get song 2. It's called Wedding Night. So we got Wedding Night and Main Title.
16 Candles.
16 Candles is incorrect. I don't think anyone got... Oh, no, there was a marriage in 16 Candles. You're right.
Yeah, her sister gets married.
We still didn't get the year or the genre, though, by the way. So just... if you want to give it to her and let her guess again, I'd be okay with that. But, you know.
Nice timing to bring that up after her turn. That's wise, Mike. I get it. I see you.
Or if you want to wait again, wait until the fourth song, I'm okay with that, too.
We don't do that. We don't do that anymore because the judges feel it's
too many gave hands. It away too much.
Gave it away too early, and we want to get as many points.
That's fair.
Points.
All right, that's good.
Okay, Mike, this one's for you. Song 3 is called "The Monster Talks."
Bride of Frankenstein.
Bride of Frankenstein is
no
incorrect.
It's the other one.
Ella, a golden opportunity for you. Song 4 is called "He's Broken Loose."
Is it Young Frankenstein?
Judges, is it Young Frankenstein? That's correct. Well done. That's 4 points for you, Ella, because you got it on song 4. For those of you playing along, let's see where you would have gotten it. Song 5 was Train Ride to Transylvania. Song 6 was Grandfather's Private Library. Song 7 was That's Frankenstein. And of course, song 8 was Theme from Young Frankenstein.
That's a good one. We actually did the lights for that show, the musical of that. Probably the year right before COVID. Like, I think that was one of the last shows we did before COVID. So that was a good one. That's a good musical too, by the way.
Yeah, that would be a great one to go see. I'd love to see that live. Mm-hmm. Here's your fun fact. Gene Wilder was the star of the movie, but there were many memorable actors who were celebrated in the film. Cloris Leachman was nominated for Best Actress in a Musical or Comedy for playing Frau Blücher, while Madeleine Kahn was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Neither won. That's not what's notable. What's interesting is that Khan has more screen time than Leachman in the movie. This is either a case of category massaging or Golden Globe's weirdness. Either are plausible. Gene Hackman appeared in the movie and was already an Oscar winner in 1974, but had been doing just serious work. A tennis buddy of Gene Wilder's, Hackman volunteered to appear in Young Frankenstein as a favor to his friend because he wanted to give comedy a shot. That's how he got the role of Harold. The blind man Frankenstein's monster meets. Uncredited and reported working for free, Hackman also ad-libbed his blackout line, "I was going to make espresso," which he could only do once without cracking up, so they had to use it in the first take.
Wait! Where are you going? I was going to make espresso.
Hilarious.
The monster singing "Putting on the Ritz" kills me every time. That's so good.
Super great. Those guys are just brilliant. Ella, this question is for you. It's called "Are Those What I Think They Are?" A modern retelling of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. Just one of the guys flips the script on gender roles in high school. When high schooler Terry Griffith faces sexism in her pursuit to prove herself as a journalist, she enrolls in a rival high school as a boy and writes an article about her experiences. As you can imagine, hijinks ensue, and we get another 80s classic teen comedy. Here's your question. Just One of the Guys was filmed in the same city it was set in. In what U.S. city did Terry conduct her gender-bending experiment? Was it A, Newark, New Jersey? B, Orlando, Florida? C, San Diego, California, D, Phoenix, Arizona, or is it E, Shermer, Illinois?
C, California.
San Diego, California is incorrect. I'm sorry, Ella. Mike, can you steal this one?
Oh, I'm not sure because there's a scene where they're at the beach. So, all right. So you said Phoenix. That doesn't have a beach. Newark? You say Newark?
Here's the answers. All Newark, right. New Jersey, Orlando, Florida, San Diego, California, Phoenix, Arizona, or Shermer, Illinois.
Wow. Shermer, Illinois is where, isn't that where Breakfast Club took place? So I'm gonna have to go with Orlando just because I know there's that beach scene.
Orlando is incorrect as well.
Wow.
They went to the famous beach of Phoenix, Arizona, of course, is the correct answer.
What? Was it? Well, it was the 80s, so I'm going to guess it was like one of those wave machine beaches. I'm just going to go with that and say that's the logic that makes it work.
It's been a minute since I've seen that movie, to be honest, so I don't remember.
Well, I was just thinking it was like the high school is totally a California high school with the walking outside and the buildings aren't connected.
And the big reveal. The big reveal is at the beach. Wow.
That's not the big climax reveal that I remember, Mike.
Not what I mean. Say no more.
Well, the one I remember is something else, which on a family show, we're not going to talk too
much. We're not going to talk about that on the family show. That's a good point. Thank you. But we do have this fun fact to talk about. Clayton Rohner, who plays Rick in the movie, got an extra special treat on the set of the movie when James Brown personally visited the set and spent 3 days teaching him some dance moves ahead of the prom scene. Rohner, a huge fan, still brags about getting to spend a few days with the Godfather of Soul, and I'm sure that James Brown was equally excited about spending 3 days with Clayton Rohner teaching him to dance.
I feel good. Papa's got a brand new bag. It's a man's world. Sex machine, get up off of that thing. I feel good. Jam.
Okay. Thanks, James. We're down to our last two questions in the round. Mike, you have retained the power throughout the whole thing. Ella, you may want to start considering that power struggle. But Mike, you can pick between these two final questions. Will it be? You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have our next question. Or will it be name that auto-tune head-to-head challenge?
Auto-tune.
Okay.
I love the auto-tune.
For this question, the judges will perform parts of a popular Gen X song, and you have to give me the title and artist of the song. The catch here is that the judges are terrible performers, and they'll be also using an awful fake British accent to make things sound more confusing and silly than are necessary. There are a total of 3 songs that you'll take turns answering, with the regular rules applying for stealing the power as well as stealing points. So that means that this question could potentially be worth up to 5 points to one of you, so anything can still happen. We'll give you a hint to try and help you by letting you know the year that the song was released, as well as the genre that the song belongs to, according to the internet. That last bit may or may not help you.
So anything can still happen.
Mike, this first song is for you. Song 1 is from 1988, and it is listed as a rock song. Here is the judge's rendition, and then you tell me the artist and title. Listen closely.
I need a respirator, 'cause I'm running out of breath. For you're an all-night generator, wrapped in stockings and a dress. When you find your medicine, you take what you can get, 'cause if there's something better, baby, well, they haven't found it yet.
What do you got, Mike?
Bon Jovi, Bad Medicine.
Judges, is he correct?
Love it. So Zabe, one of the classes I used to teach was on concert lighting, and it was a special 3-week January class. And the class and I took trips to see concerts. Bon Jovi was one of them. Aerosmith with Lenny Kravitz opening was one. Rolling Stones was the final exam class. So
Bon Jovi in that class.
Yeah, it was a good class. And this was This was right when Have a Nice Day, that album with the smiley face thing, came out. So that was before he had his vocal issues. And that was a great concert. That was a good show. Yeah.
Yeah. I took theater appreciation when I was in college, and we went to local community theaters to see stuff. I think I got the short end of that straw in yours college.
My theory of teaching was, if I'm entertained and having a good time, then they're going to learn more. So I definitely took that to the extreme on a lot of classes. So, but yeah, that Bon Jovi concert was really good.
Nice. Well, let's talk more about Bon Jovi concert. Fun fact. For this song's music video, Bon Jovi wanted to do a live video, but with a different slant. So 250 fans were given handheld cameras and told to shoot the band in concert the way that they saw them. Mike, you didn't go to that one, did you?
No, that was before my time. So,
all right. The video was groundbreaking at the time for using such a fan-inclusive approach. It also captured the live shots that were regularly seen by music video crews at the time. Bon Jovi once said, quote, "We told them to film whatever they wanted, and if it was good, we'd use it in the video and take 10 people who shot the best stuff on the road with us in California, and they would come along with us in the jet and be like a member of the band. I was hoping that they'd goof off a bit more and that they'd take the cameras and film themselves and join the show, filming anything they wanted plus the stage. These kids turned up with their own lights, trusses, tripods, and assistants, because they all wanted to be the ones to go on the road with us," end quote. Anyone who's been to a concert since the invention of the iPhone knows that Bon Jovi would have to wait for another 30 years to get their wish of having concert goers with everyone in the audience having their own camera phones, filming themselves mugging for the screen while at the show. So well done, Mike. That's two more points for you. Ella, this song's for you. Song 2 is listed as a pop song from 1984. Can you name the artist and title to this song?
"How Can I Just Let You Walk Away? Just Let You Leave Without a Trace. When I Stand Here Taking Every Breath With You." Ooh, ooh.
Want to hear it again?
Yeah. No, I know it. I'm trying to.
I feel like I want to give you a hint, but I'm not going to. So
thanks. I have the whole verse, but I can't find the chorus.
I can mouth it to you.
The title only comes in passing in the chorus. It's only said. Like,
I know, but I can't get the chorus. I can't get to the chorus. I keep hearing the verse over.
I keep
over.
Saying I want to cheat for you, Ella. I can mouth it, and so if you, I can mouth it to you. So just take a look at me now, and I can.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Ready? Here, I'm mouthing it to you.
Okay. I still.
Okay. What do you got, Ella?
Take a look at me now. That was really good, Zabe. That was a good.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're.
I don't. I don't know what you're talking about. Take a look at me.
I guess take a look at me now.
No, it's the first line. Of
no. What is your official answer, Ella? Don't let Mike influence you.
It's from a movie.
I know it is.
Which movie, though?
The name of the movie is the name of the song. The cover of the movie poster has them laying on a beach, like kissing or something like that. Does that help?
No.
It's British singer. He used to be in Genesis. He was a drummer.
Bill Collins.
He's not currently wearing a jacket.
You coming back to me?
Against all odds, Phil Collins.
Judges, well done, Ella. That's 2 points for you.
Thanks.
Great job. You pulled it out at the last minute.
Not a big Phil Collins fan.
I am.
I know you are. Keep getting his questions.
I know. It's that flip flop for judges. Is she correct? Is it against all odds? Parentheses. Take a look at me now.
How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace. When I stand here taking every breath with you. Ooh. Ooh, take a look at me now. Well, there's just an empty space. And you coming back.
Well done, Ella. Great job.
Such a good breakup song.
See, I was getting all the way up to empty space part, and I couldn't get past.
It's a good song to open a vein to, I tell you that much. That song's depressing. Here's a fun fact. This was the first of 7 U.S. solo number one hits for Collins, all of which charted during the 80s. He was still charting hits with Genesis during this time as well, including the number one hit, Invisible Touch, in 1986. This resulted in a bit of Phil Collins fatigue and somewhat of a backlash in the 90s when some critics targeted him as a symbol of schlocky pop music. In a 2007 story on NPR show This American Life, Phil Collins explained how he did not write songs with Genesis, but was motivated to write solo material to deal with the pain of his personal life. Said Collins, quote, "The song was written during my first divorce. My first wife and kids had gone, and I was left alone there, sad and alone. The song was written out of experience as opposed to a what-if song. If that personal stuff had not happened to me at the time, then I probably would never have made an album. Without that stuff, I wouldn't have felt the stuff I felt sitting there at the piano, night after night, day after day, writing stuff, alone." Okay, now that Phil Collins has bummed us all out, let's move on to our last song of the round. Song three is for you, Mike. It's from 1984, and it belongs to the pop genre, according to Google. I hope that helps. Let's give the judges' version a listen.
"Some boys kiss me. Some boys hug me. I think they're okay. If they don't give me proper credit, I just walk away. They can beg, and they can plead, but they can't see the light. That's right, 'cause the boy with the cold hard cash is always Mr. Right."
Wow. If this is who I think it is, I also wasn't a big listener of this in the 80s either, but I'm going to say Madonna, Material Girl.
Let's see if he's right. Judges?
Some boys kiss me, some boys hug me, I think they're okay. If they don't give me proper credit, I just walk away, because we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl.
Well done, Mike. Here's a fun fact. The song was about a woman who craves the finer things in life and will manipulate men to get them. Like a Virgin was only Madonna's second album, and she was still developing her image at that time. Much to her dismay, Material Girl became her nickname, but over the next few years, she was able to disassociate the song and establish many new looks. There was a parody song based on this one called Cereal Girl, and despite it being a parody song about food, it was not written by the great Weird Al. The song was featured in an episode of Sesame Street and was about a young girl who is persuaded by her dad to eat cereal, and she sings and sways to express her joy of this new food. It's not a good parody, like, at all. It shows, once again, that it takes great talent to make a great parody song, and Weird Al is the undisputed champion of parody song.
I said I taste it.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Wow, Ella, had you heard that? You were mouthing the words. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Do you remember Cereal Girl from Sesame Street?
Yeah. Nice. I'm a huge Sesame Street fan, so yeah.
That's crazy. I never even heard that.
Yeah, I don't see you watching Sesame Street very often.
No, I don't watch it too much. So.
Well, we'll see if that knowledge of Sesame Street helps you out later in the game. Ella, here's the last question in round two, and it's for you. It's called, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both. And there you have our next question. It's a television question. Through trials and tribulations, laughter and tears, the girls of Eastland School navigate adolescence and form lifelong bonds with the help of their house mother, Mrs. Garrett, in the classic American sitcom, The Facts of Life. In later seasons of the series, the girls graduate and the show transitions from high school settings to a new business. Here's your question. What is the name of the business Mrs. Garrett opens with the help of the girl? It's multiple choice for you. What is the name of the business Mrs. Garrett opens with the help of the girls? Is it A, Edna's Eats, B, Edna's Edibles, C, Edna's Delights, D, Edna's Eatery, or did Mrs. Garrett and the girls just open a Sizzler?
Sizzler! I'm going to go with, was it B, Edna's Edibles?
Edna's Edibles is correct. Well done.
Wow. And edibles weren't even a thing back then. That's,
yeah.
That's
George
crazy.
Clooney was their neighbor.
Mike, I thought you were on college campuses. Edibles were a thing way back then, I'm sure.
I guess maybe so.
So here's the fun fact. Did you know that George Clooney made one of his earliest television appearances on The Facts of Life? Of course you did. You're a Gen Xer. Everybody knows that. Before becoming a Hollywood heartthrob, Clooney played handyman George Burnett on the show, who joined the cast when Edna's Edibles burnt down and the gang started another business called Over Our Heads. And nothing gives your customers more confidence in your business than when your name implies that you're incompetent. Unless you're selling hats, Over Our Heads is a terrible name for your business. That being said, Edna's Edibles is a great name for a weed dispensary. Okay, so that's the end of round two. Robin, will you please give us a scoring update?
Yes, Ella was able to cover more ground. She has 15 points. Mike still has the lead with 21, but it's only a 6-point lead.
Means, Mike, you have the most points at the end of round two. Congratulations. You and I are going to take a secret trip to the prize vault, where you and I are going to select the prize that the two of you will be playing for in the final round. But before we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Muppet Babies will return after these messages.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're enjoying the show so far, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribing for future episodes. The only way a show like this gets anywhere in the podcasting world is by positive reviews and word of mouth among friends. So, if you're inclined, please help spread the word about the podcast and share it with that special Gen Xer in your life. We'd love to have you as a friend of the show. Thanks so much!
So who's gonna save our generation? Are you gonna save our generation? Who will save Generation X?
And now back to Muppet Babies.
The power.
Struggle.
Okay, the prize has been selected, but before we start round three, now it's the last chance to solve the power struggle question. To steal the power, score 20 points, and go first in round three. Remember, you need to name what the clip is from and in the correct order. Let's take our final listen to the power struggle, and then you need to give me your answers. Listen up. Here's the last listen.
Well, isn't that special?
She came with me. She's with me.
I carried a watermelon.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me. I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Fighting the system like a two modern day Robin Hood.
Okay, Ella, you are behind in points. Would you like to try and solve the power struggle?
Yes, I would like to try to solve the power struggle.
Okay, 1 through 5, let's hear them.
Number 1 is Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bangles. Number 2 is Dana Carvey as the church lady on SNL. Number 3 is Dirty Dancing. 4 is Airplane. 5 is the theme from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Judges? Correct! Well done, Ella.
Thank you for not having any video game clips.
We can thank my wife for that one.
That's one of my weaknesses.
I was hoping you were going to make her pick a name who sang the Dukes of Hazzard theme song.
Well, I got that too. So
who is it? You didn't say that.
It's Waylon Jennings.
True. All right, it is. I'm just making sure.
Can't you tell by her accent she's going to know who Waylon Jennings is?
Yeah, there is a Hazzard, Kentucky.
Congratulations, Ella. You just scored a whopping 20 points. But more importantly, you've just stolen the power and you get to go first in Dysfunctional Family Feud.
Steal the power!
Well done. Speaking of which, let's play it right now.
Round 3.
Round 3 is a prize round called Dysfunctional Family Feud. In this final round, I will ask the same 5 survey questions, Family Feud style, to each player in turn, and they will need to respond with what they think are the most popular responses from the Gen X timeline, that is the 70s, 80s, and early 90s for our purposes here. These are actual survey questions taken from actual people from Generation X that have been quizzed by the show via our newsletter. The player who has the power gets to answer first, with player two unable to hear the responses. Player two will then have to give responses to the same five questions and beat the other player's score without duplicating any of their answers. Whoever ends up with the most points wins the game and goes on to claim their chance of a prize Mike has selected in secret. Gen Xers, if you'd like to take part in Dysfunctional Family Feud surveys, sign up for our newsletter on our website, and it will include a spot for you to reply to upcoming surveys. After the episode, head over to whowillsavegenx.com and get your answers on the show. Okay, let's play Dysfunctional Family Feud. So Ella has the power, which means she gets to go first, and it also means we have to send Mike off to the Phantom Zone. Later, Mike. All right, Ella, your time will begin after I finish reading the first question. Name a celebrity couple from the 1980s.
Tatum O'Neal and John McEnroe.
Question two. What was your favorite elective to take in high school?
Study hall.
Question three. Name a live action, that's not a cartoon, television show made for Gen X kids.
Saved by the Bell.
Name an 80s movie that you wish they made a sequel for.
Pretty Woman.
You're hoping for the sequel, Prettier Woman? And here's the last one. Name a musical artist that you wish was still alive to make more music today. And I'll put it as a side note that your husband really doesn't like.
Prince.
Okay. Okay, Mike, I'm going to ask you the same five survey questions I asked Ella. You may not duplicate any of her answers. If you do, you'll hear this sound, and I'll ask you for another answer. It's a little bit more difficult, so you get two passes. Make sure you use your passes. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Your time will begin when I finish reading the first question. Name a celebrity couple from the 1980s.
Prince Charles and Lady Di.
What was your favorite elective to take in high school?
Band.
Name a live action, not cartoon, television show made for Gen X kids.
Saved by the Bell.
Try Dang again.
That's my favorite. Well, let's go with Bozo the Clown on WGN in the mornings.
I should have told you not to pick your favorite show.
I know. You did say that, and I can't think of anything.
No, that one's on me, Mike. Question four is, name an 80s movie that you wish they made a sequel for.
Breakfast Club.
And finally, name a musical artist that you wish was still alive to make more music today.
Prince.
Try again.
John Lennon.
Let's go to the scores. I asked you, name a celebrity couple from the 1980s. Mike, you gave us
Prince Charles and Lady Di, which was worth 20 points.
Well done. Ella, over to you. You gave us
John McEnroe and Tatum O'Neal.
Oh, wow.
Did not make the survey.
Oh, no way.
The number one answer was Burt and Lonnie.
I thought of that when Mike
Burt
was...
Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson. They weren't really...
I thought about that while you were answering. I was like, oh, yeah. They were married.
Were they really?
Yes, they have a kid.
What? I thought that was just a fictitious, like a publicity thing that they just hung out and pretended to like each other for romantic things.
No, they were married.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think they had quite a messy divorce based on what I read.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Going into round three, Ella had 35 points and Mike had 21 points. So we're going to add that to your total for question one, which brings the score to Ella with 35 points and Mike with 41 points. So going into question number two, Mike has a 6-point lead.
A slim 6-point lead. You know, guys, we get the information for these surveys via our listeners from our newsletter, and we get some interesting replies. So I'd like to give some honorable mentions to some of these entertaining answers. Honorable mention goes to a celebrity couple of Bert and Ernie.
Yes.
We had Randy Macho Man Savage and Lady Elizabeth.
Oh, that's such a good one.
I thought that was good. Not quite as good as Jimmy and Tammy Faye Baker.
Oh, another good one.
And then things get a little dark because we have Richard Wagner and Natalie Wood. And in staying with that theme, we have, of course, Nicole and OJ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't think Nicole was a celebrity until, you know.
Yeah, until afterwards. Yeah. All right. That's fair. I don't think I mentioned in the survey, I also was a pro wrestler for a period of time. So
really?
Yeah, a very, very bad Eastern North Carolina wrestling company. I'll have to send you a link to it because it's so bad. They misspelled, it was Southeast Wrestling Alliance, and they misspelled Alliance on the ring skirt.
It was Alacnia.
It was so bad.
I watched a lot of wrestling when I was a kid. Yeah,
I did too.
And the one thing all these wrestlers had in common was they all had cool wrestling names.
Yeah.
Mike, what was your professional wrestler name?
I was the Big Dog. And I still am the Big Dog. And I actually got the name not from that, but I got it from a bar in Mississippi, which is a whole other story. So, but yeah, I was a pro wrestler manager thing at this little rinky dink company that had a cable access show where people would call in, and the people in the front row when you wrestled thought it was real. My move was the choke slam. It was a lot of fun. And it comes from out of a joke at this school. They were like, you need to teach a January class. So I was like, pro wrestling is American pop culture theater. And they said, okay, teach it. And so we did. And we took trips. We had backstage passes to a WCW pay-per-view and then a Monday Nitro. And then the final exam, the students had to create characters. We rented a ring and we learned wrestling moves, and we put on a 3-hour wrestling thing. We made entrance videos. When the fight left the ring and went backstage, we had pre-recorded fights like in the back of the building with throwing trash cans and stuff. It was crazy fun. So
once again, why didn't I go to your college instead of my crappy college that I went to?
That and is absolutely incredible. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll send you a link so you can watch. I edit it down to the good 10 minutes or so, but it was wild. We had pyro and everything, man. It was insanely fun.
Judges, I think we might need to get a ruling here because he withheld in his genetic credentials that he was a professional wrestler. I think he should get docked a few points for withholding this and wait until the very end to make this awesome reveal. What do you think, judges? Okay.
Oh, good. Thank you, judges.
You're spared, Mike. Okay, let's continue with the show. Question two was, what was your favorite elective to take in high school? Mike, you said wrestling. Oh, wait, sorry.
Band, which was worth 25 points. It was actually our number one answer.
Well done.
Being a band nerd finally pays off. So,
Ella, you gave us
study hall, which was worth 3 points.
Study hall. That's an elective? Was that an elective at your school?
Yeah.
Wow. I had that freshman year.
Wow.
It was a rad class.
That's why.
I never took it, but we had it. Yeah.
And we didn't have study hall at my school.
I just snuck my Walkman in and listened to The Cure the whole time. That's why I loved it so much.
Nice. Was it the yellow Walkman?
No, it was.
Oh, the silver?
Well, it was silver, but it was like the Way knockoff brand. Like,
Yeah.
No name.
Yeah.
Radio Shack. The Radio Shack version.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I had.
Ella is now 28 points behind going into question three.
Honorable mentions to this one goes to advanced hall walking. Somebody said lunch was their favorite elective. And finally, in quotes, horticulture. And then they added pot may have been involved. Question three was name a live action television show made for Gen X kids. Mike, you said
Bozo the Clown.
Oh, this hurts.
Did not make the list.
Zero.
Shockingly, Bozo did not make the survey. Ella, you gave us the brilliant answer of
Saved by the Bell, which was worth 4 points.
Four?
Can you believe that?
That's insane. We have the Saved by the Bell board game.
Signed by Mr. Belding,
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
The number one answer was, you can't do that on television.
Oh! Man, I used to watch that all the time. Oh,
same.
And plus the show, your show has this, you get slimed if you say the magic words. Yeah. No. Dang it.
Ella's now 24 points behind. Closing the gap.
There were no fun responses for this one to report, but some surprising data instead. Of the several hundred responses we received, The Muppet Show and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood only got one vote each, and yet American Gladiators got two votes. When we ask who will save Gen X from being forgotten, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. Kermit and Mr. Rogers deserves better.
Big time. Those are two solid answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question four was name an 80s movie that you wish they made a sequel for. And Mike, you said
The Breakfast Club, which was worth 19 points. Mm.
Ella, you gave us
Pretty Woman, which was worth 2 points.
Wow.
You really wanted to see a Pretty Woman sequel?
Yeah.
Is there more story to tell there?
I think so.
Okay.
I think they get divorced at the end of that. I mean, that's that's just, you know.
No way. Rich men and prostitutes always live happily ever after. I'm pretty sure they lived happily ever after.
Yeah. The number one answer was The Goonies.
Oh, that would be a good one. I'd pay to see that.
Well, they set it up for a sequel at the end. If you remember, Chunk and Sloth. Chunk goes up to the Sloth and says, "Hey, you're going to live with me now. I'm going to take care of you." That's the movie that we all wanted to see.
Yeah. They could do like kind of like they did with Top Gun and go do like a 30 years later. Maybe they got to go back and find another treasure thing or something. That
I'm sure
cool.
Sloth has eaten Chunk at the left alone. Chunk is definitely, dead somehow. There's no way living with Sloth's going to work out.
He's a celebrity lawyer now.
Is he really? Oh, well, I guess that's the movie then. Sloth goes to law school, becomes a celebrity lawyer, and, hilarity ensues. Oh, you meant the actor that played Chunk.
Uh-huh.
My bad.
So now going into the last question, Ella is 20 points behind.
Oh, you could still do it.
Shout outs to those who did not understand the assignments, who replied with Weekend at Bernie's, Three Men and a Baby, and of all things, Police Academy. All three of these movies had far too many sequels already. Shout outs to the people who went the extra mile to give the sequels they wanted to see a made-up subtitle. We had votes for 16 Candles, More Dong Adventures.
Nice.
And we also had Xanadu 2, Xanaduer. I'm pretty sure that those were titles of movies available on that one scrambled cable channel.
Yeah.
Teens of the 80s tried to come through on the cable box.
They're behind the beaded curtain at the video store.
Right, exactly. And it all comes down to this one final question. Name a musical artist that you wish was still alive to make more music today. Mike, you tried to say your all-time favorite musical artist of Prince.
Yeah.
But what did you end up saying? You said...
John Lennon, worth 6 points.
Oh. Wow. That hurts.
All right. With those points, Ella needs 27 points to win.
With such a slight margin... Is it enough? Let's see. What did Gen X say?
Survey said.
Ella gave us the answer of Prince. Our number one answer, worth 37 points.
Oh.
That means you won the game, Ella. Congratulations. You're doing your part to save Generation X. Well done.
Thank you.
Well deserved. She knows this stuff way more than I do. That's awesome. I'm glad you won.
Thank you, dude.
But we kept it competitive because I thought she was going to go way further than I did. So,
well, the judges talked backstage about kicking you off, Mike, once you said that you weren't a Prince fan. So I feel like we got some sort of redemption for the spirit of Prince that's the one that took you down.
Yeah. That is true. The irony of that is great. I love it. I love everything about that.
Mike, I'm sorry things didn't quite go your way this episode, but did you have a good time anyway?
Oh, loved it. It was so much fun. Everyone should be listening to this if you're a Gen X person. I mean, it's a good trip down memory lane. And man, what a fun way to spend an evening. Good stuff.
Thanks so much. For winning the game, I offer a chance for a prize by me placing bids on my eBay watch list on the winner's behalf. I will place multiple bids on the listing chosen in secret by Mike until I'm the high bidder. If that bid holds up until the end of the auction, then I will buy that item for you, Ella, and have it shipped out to you. Good luck. Let's take a look at all the prizes that Mike had to choose from, and then we will reveal what was chosen. As is show tradition, we have Garbage Pail Kids, Elephant, which is a picture of a babar-looking Garbage Pail Kid with her trunk tied in a knot. And we also have Garbage Pail Kid Mega Million Mike Lottery Ticket. It shows a picture of a scratch-off ticket with a picture of Garbage Pail Mike, but it is both scratching away the ticket to reveal the numbers behind him and also scratching away his flesh. We mentioned Weird Al in this episode when talking about Cereal Girl. And while we couldn't find any Cereal Girl related items on eBay, we did find this Weird Al Yankovic Chia Pet bust. I can only imagine the joy of watching Weird Al's hair grow chia plants out of it. And you can too if you pick this item. Next, to honor the Karate Kids today, we offer this autographed photograph of composer Bill Conti, who was most famous for his Rocky and Karate Kid themes songs that he wrote for the movies. He is seen here pictured wearing a tuxedo with his arm around a fan who looks like she's having the time of her life. The inscription reads, "To Marilyn, best wishes." I'm sure some light Photoshop work here can put your face over Marilyn's Ella. Next, we have this ridiculous print of John Travolta taken during the filming of Grease Lightning scene in the movie Grease. The title of the listing reads, "John Travolta Jumping?" and like 5 question marks and 3 exclamation points behind it. He's doing a spread eagle jump with his hands poised like he wants to get to second base with Sandy at the drive-in. It is really quite a picture. Next, we have a 4-DVD lot of movies. The movies are a Crocodile Hunter movie, apparently, Young Frankenstein, Three Amigos, and for some reason, something called Milton Berle's Low Impact High Comedy Workout.
That one's just so weird.
Yeah. It seemed like every celebrity had a workout tape back in the day.
Yeah.
If you want a body like Milton Berle, then this is the one to get for sure.
That's insane.
Dang, I was using Cindy Crawford and I could have had Milton Berle all that time.
Missed out. And finally, we have to celebrate the film Major League and Charlie Sheen, we offer this DVD copy of the movie, but it is a Japanese dubbed version of the film, and it comes complete with cover art in Japanese as well. Although tigers live in Asia, we won't be including any tiger blood with this listing. Sorry to say. All right, Mike, can you please reveal to us what was picked and why you picked it?
It was the Weird Al Yankovic Chia Pet plant bust.
Is this some kind of bust?
Well, it's very impressive, yes, but we need to ask you a few questions.
We've had Chia Pets in our house a couple of times. Our daughter's a big fan of them, and I love Weird Al, and I just thought, you know, those two things will be good, and I can share some Weird Al with our daughter and grow some little weird green things for a while. It'd be a lot of fun, so.
Full disclosure, I think it's just the pottery and not the actual seeds, so you'll have to supply your own chia seeds.
Chia. You can't order supplies of those.
Yeah, she has a Bob Ross Chia Pet, which is so fun as that fro just blows out. So I think a Weird Al one just fit right with that. So yeah, that's great.
I think they're kindred spirits in the hair department.
Yeah.
Okay, Ella. So you have a choice here. You can either take the bid for the Weird Al Yankovic Chia Pet bust, or you can take whatever's in this mystery box.
Ooh.
Anything can be in this mystery box. You don't know, but you have a guaranteed bid here or the mystery box. What's it going to be?
I'll take the mystery box.
Yeah, I knew you would. That's all right.
Huge fan of Let's Make a Deal.
Okay.
Oh, great. That's a good one.
Let's see what's in the box.
Okay, inside the mystery box, we have a autographed picture of one of the judges that we will send out to you. It says, thanks for playing. Best wishes, the judges, and a handsome photograph of one of our judges.
That's awesome.
And we will also send out to you a collection of vintage scratch and sniff stickers.
Oh!
Some of your favorite smells, such as I think there's pizza and pickle and popcorn. So we'll send those out to you as well, as you can enjoy those at your leisure.
Awesome. My mom would never let me buy those.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I didn't get scented markers either.
That's because scratch and sniff stickers had to be earned. You couldn't just buy them. You need to earn them from your elementary school teacher.
That's true. That's so cool. That's very cool. That's better than Weird Al. Yeah.
Once again, congratulations, Ella. Have fun sniffing.
Fun, baby.
Hey, guys. Do you have any shout outs or things you'd like to plug here on the show?
I'd just like to say hi to my best friend, Melinda Jones.
Jones!
We spent the entire 80s together and we're still best friends. So
shout out to you, Melinda. Any plugs or shout outs for you, Mike?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to the National Community Action Partnership. I'm the executive director of a community action agency. We were community action started in 1964 as part of Lyndon Johnson's War on Poverty. And so across the country, every county of the United States is represented by a community action agency working to alleviate the causes of poverty and the conditions of poverty. And this is our 60th anniversary. Community Action has been around for 60 years. So if you know people who need some assistance, you know, they're at the lower end of the economic spectrum, Google Community Action and call those people in your part of the country, and they will see what they can do to help people. It's a good thing. I switched from teaching to that during the pandemic, and it's been life-changing. And the work that Community Action does, trying to restore people's dignity and their belief in America, and just helping them, you know, get from point A to point B and make life a little bit better. So shout out to the National Community Action Partnership and my agency, Concho Valley Community Action Agency.
That sounds like a worthy cause, helping people out when they're in need.
Helping people, changing lives. That's our motto. So that's what we do.
That's beautiful. Listeners, you can find that link in the show notes for this episode. Thanks again, guys, for being on the show. Appreciate you.
Thanks. This was a lot of fun, Zabe. And thanks, Robin, for scoring and everything.
Yeah.
I have one shout out to give. I'd like to give an overdue shout out to Patreon supporter, the great Mitch Porter. Mitch was a guest host on a past Challenging Stage episode and has been a big supporter of the show for a while now. Thank you, Mitch. We appreciate you for helping us make our dreams come a little bit closer to a reality of making this podcast a full-time gig for us and bringing you episodes more frequently. Mitch, here's a sound clip in your honor that we hope you especially like.
Keep it. Alex, you're walking away from history. History. Did Chris Columbus say he wanted to stay home? No. What if the Wright brothers thought that only birds should fly? And did Galoka think the Yulus were too ugly to save?
Who's Galoka?
Thank you for checking out the show. We know you have a vast ocean of choices for your podcast and enjoyment, and it is simply amazing that you chose to spend a little time on our show. Thank you. If you like what we're doing here and you'd like to contribute directly to the show, we have a Patreon account set up at patreon.com/whowillsavegenx. At our Patreon site, you will see special offers for becoming a contributor to the show, so take advantage of those if you're interested. If you like, you can head over to whowillsavegenx.com to learn all about the ways you can do your part to save Gen X from being forgotten. But if you're feeling like a slacker at the moment, you can just email me, and I promise to write you back with all the details you could ever possibly hope to want. You can reach me or any of the judges at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks again for checking out the show. We welcome you to share this episode with that special Gen Xer in your life and subscribe to the show for future episodes where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.